The Lives of the Third Temple, Part 90. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yehoshua in South Africa, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacrosanct Bible, Rotterdam version, please contact us at our WhatsApp number 0722-367-124. That's on plus 27 international code. Or just go to my website https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are to participate in the study, you are very, very welcome. I urge you to go to part one, start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information, which is very necessary to know. Also very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the other studies that we are currently busy with. Share this link with your friends and family and friends, and make sure you at least have a 1611 King James Bible ready, because we're busy with Bible study, a pen and writing pad. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. I trust that the study today will be a blessing unto you in the name of Yehoshua. Now, the researcher, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, still makes the following statements. This is all their statement which I'm reading, because I need you to have all this information. And without all this information, it's actually impossible to talk about the Third Temple. Because this is the background and the reason why they want the Third Temple. Why rebuilding the temple? Why rebuilding the temple? Numbers 20 of the 613 commandments in the Torah, according to Maidenism, caused the building of the temple, building in Jerusalem. If one does not exist or orders the maintenance of a temple of its existence. Orthodox Jews during the diaspora caused for the eventually building of the temple in Jerusalem. The question arises as the concept as intercessors the Jewish people would have for constructing a new temple. Why would they want to build it? Two reasons come to mind. One, the fulfillment of a national dream of the Jewish people. And this, in brackets to me, is total New Age. This is like putting a car in reverse and driving backwards. It's got nothing to do with what the Bible says it must happen. Two, a realigning point for the nation's religion and cultish heritage. A realizing point for the nation's religious and culture in heritage. For centuries, the Jews did not possess their homeland. They forced a wander as strangers and vagabonds across the face of the earth. Deep within the Jewish heart has been a longing for a return to the land and rebuilding of the temple. Rebuilding of a temple. The temple is also a symbol of prosperity granted from them from heaven, and a reminder of better days that the nation had in the days of David and Solomon. The desire for the restoration of the temple has been the prayer of the Orthodox Jews since the destruction of the Second Temple in AD 70. That was when Emperor Titus burned the temple down and destroyed the walls of Jerusalem. And today, when I listen up till now, when I look at this reasons that I give here, it doesn't say anything about the coming of Yehoshua. nothing. This is something to do with pride. They want to restore their Jewish pride. A rebuilt temple would also be the unifying force for this small, beleaguered nation. During their rebuilding, Neo extends as a reborn nation. Israel has experienced a series of major wars. Hours of worship, especially hours of prayers for all the peoples as their first and second temples have been, could serve as the rallying point for Jews worldwide. Not only would this help unify the many Jewish functions that exist of Israel today, but the Jewish people feel deeply that the redemption of all mankind is tied to redemption of their land. When Messiah comes, he will be the King and Savior of all the nations. Do you know what? Yahushua already is the King of all the nations. He came to Israel 2,000 years ago and they accept him not. When Pontius Pilate stood there in Barabbas and Yahushua, Pontius Pilate said, "Who should I set free?" They said, "Barabbas, a killer, a murderer." He says, "But Yahushua is your Messiah, he's nothing of us," they say. So Pontius Pilate washed his hands in water. He says, "I find no guilt in Yahushua. Let his blood be upon us and our children's children." They cursed him. They cursed him. They let him wear a purple garment, gown, and a thorny crown. They humiliated him. They cursed him. And now? Now they want the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will be the King and Savior of all the nations. He's not the King and Savior of all the nations. When he comes, he will come to take one third of Israel. When he comes, he will come to do Perosha, the bride, the Gentile bride. And then we will find him in Revelation 19, verse 11 to 21, where he will come with the Harpachu, where he will come for one third of Israel, the remnant of Israel, not all the nations. The nations doesn't want to know anything about him. Do they think if they build a third temple, that's going to make the people want to accept Yahushua as their Messiah and Savior? They won't. They will laugh it off. It will be something new if there's a third temple for the world tourists to go and see. Take photos. And that is that. It will become like a novelty. But Yahushua has come to save every sinner. All they need to do today, we're living in the age of grace. And all people have to do, they don't need a temple to be saved. They don't need a temple for him to be the King and Savior of all nations. All they had to do is accept him as their personal Savior and Redeemer, their Shua. Yahushua. Shua, S-A-U-A means Savior, Redeemer. King, Savior, Redeemer, you can call it. It's all they need to do is accept the revelation blood of Yahushua. Make him their own. He doesn't need a third temple. He says his kingdom is no longer of this earth. He's going to come and call us. He's going to change us from an earthly into an immortal body. Ascending. Perosha us away, draw us away into heaven in glorified bodies. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says there need to be a third temple built. Not one scripture. The scriptures that they use, these fanatics about the third temple, is all the scriptures that was given to have the first temple rebuilt after King Nebuchadnezzar burned down the temple in Jerusalem and destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, took everything to Babylon. Then the second temple was built, and again Yahweh allowed the temple to be broken down. Why? Because he's got no desire in a temple. The scriptures that is used to promote a third temple building is the scriptures that was given to build the second temple, which was actually the third temple, that you know. The first temple was the one that King David built, or renovated, the pagan temple which he renovated, which he called the House of Yahweh. To a united front, by many means, 2 Jews equal 3 options. In 1982, after years of disagreement about the method of approach, 3 groups of devout Jews, the Jerusalem Temple Foundations, the Mount of the Lord, and the faithful of the Temple Mount combined their forces to plan for and build the third temple. I want to give the names again. Very important. 3 groups, Jewish groups. The Jerusalem Temple Foundation, that's the one we've been using all the time. The Mountain of the Lord and the faithful of the Temple Mount combined their forces to plan for the build of a third temple. More recently, the Temple Institute has begun to build the sacred vessels to be used in the third temple. Now, this has been going on for quite a time already. The internet is full of it. That is propaganda. That is propaganda. You know what's so funny to me is how many Protestant churches has joined into this, has bought into this craziness of a third temple building that needs to be erected. Protestants, Pentecostal churches today, believe there has to be a third temple before Yahushua will come on the clouds. And then they have no scripture for it. Like I say, the scriptures that they use is scriptures that was given to rebuild the second temple after Israel were exiled from bondage after 70 years under Babylonian rule and Median Persian partly. So what happens is now these 3 institutions or bodies or organizations combine forces because they have the same purpose. And now they start making the certain objects which were in the original temple, which King Nebuchadnezzar broke down before he took out the holy objects. He says, more recently the Temple Institute has begun to build the sacred vessels. How can they be sacred vessels to be used in the third temple? 1 Yeshim Yot Altar Kamahani is presently located at the old city in the historic Tara Himan Yeshiva building. Prior to the Arab Rites of 1936, this area of the old city was a thriving Jewish community. The Yavisha location place is not far from the spot the Holy of Holies, Kadesh HaKodeshim, once stood on the Temple Mount. The following is an extract from the Constitution of the Jewish Temple Foundation. The purposes: A. To undertake research into the history of the holy place in Israel. B. To provide scientific means and equipment for the efficient investigation of such phases of an archaeological site. C. You study the religious, political, economical, social, culture and ethic aspects and implication of these investigations and explorations. D. To advance the learning application of the scripture. To advance the learning application of the scriptures. E. To work for the safeguarding and preservation of the integrity of the holy place in Israel and the restoration with this special emphasis on the Table Mount. Now I think what we're going to do, I think let's take a couple of seconds and just finish this. F. To provide a forum for authorization decisions of matters falling within the foundation scope of interest. G. To publish the result and records of its discussions and research in order to endow the public with a wider knowledge of holy places and architectural sites in Israel. To launch worldwide competitions for the design and construction of suitable evidels and simply projects in Israel. To raise funds for the promotion and development of these A's investigative activities. It is true that some of the Temple Mount activities view the matter in more nationalistic than religious terms. They see the Temple Mount as part of the land of Israel. They believe that until the Mount is in Israel control, then Israel does not have complete sovereignty over the country. One of the poets, Uzzar Zuf Greenberg, wrote, "Israel without the Mount is not Israel. Who controls the Mount controls the land of Israel." Now we're going to stop right here. If it's Yahweh's will, next Monday we're going to continue with this. Now we start getting into the real scriptures and history and reasons. Till next week, if it's Yahweh's will. Maranatha. Yahshua is coming back again. Hallelujah.